of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus, as they grow up, they spread all over the world. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone, and still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. So the analogy here is that Lord Chaitanya, he's compared to the tree of devotional service. And as we know, generally the trees, they don't move. But this tree, it moves. When Lord Chaitanya was here, he was going all over India. He was chanting the holy name and he was preaching Krishna consciousness. And sometimes when he would be in the kirtan, he would jump so high that the devotees are thinking he's going to hurt himself when he lands. And Mother Sachi, she prayed to Krishna that Lord Chaitanya not hurt himself when he falls. You know, so Lord Chaitanya's God, you can't imagine how, he must have been going very high. You know, like, I don't know how many meters, but he was probably going away, people were in anxiety that he's going to hurt himself. So Lord Chaitanya was moving around, he was chanting the holy name, inspiring people to become Krishna conscious. And it's described that one Rath Yatra, that Lord Chaitanya, he was sprinkling the minds of everyone with the nectar of love of Godhead. So this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just giving mercy, giving so much mercy. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in one purport that this ISKCON society is one of the branches of this tree, of this Chaitanya tree. And as it's mentioned here, that this tree would spread all over the world. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, this tree has spread all over the world. And it's growing. Now when Prabhupada first went to the West, New York City, there was no devotees. It was just like a desert, just like a dry desert. There was no devotion for Krishna. So Prabhupada went there and he started chanting and preaching, and gradually some sprouts came up and became very devotional sprouts. And eventually it spread all over the world. Lord Chaitanya appeared 529 years ago. So 529 years after the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, in this branch of the Chaitanya tree, ISKCON society, we've distributed over 500 million of these fruits of love of God. So this branch of the Chaitanya tree is very, very much alive, you know, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And we want to increase it more and more. This is the mission of this society, that we want everyone to get an opportunity to hear about Krishna, to hear about Lord Chaitanya. And actually, we should all live our lives to help others. And the best way to help others is by giving them Srila Prabhupada's books. There's no better way. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that if one person becomes a devotee of Krishna, that's better than millions of hospitals being opened. Because if one person becomes a devotee of Krishna, Then he leaves his home, as it's stated here. One leaves this old age, death, birth, disease, all the nonsense. It's just, he's free of it. So these books are so important. And by this book distribution, Lord Chaitanya is continuing this, sprinkling the minds of everyone with the nectar of love of Godhead. When I read that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I just, wow, how wonderful that is. Lord Chaitanya is just giving his mercy. Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. It's the most merciful incarnation. Freely giving love of Krishna, giving them an opportunity to take to devotional service. So we're very fortunate to be a part of this movement that is giving this mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the more we distribute these fruits of love of Krishna in the form of these books, the more we will also taste these fruits. Srila Prabhupada, he says in one purport, that the best way to get realization of Krishna is to go out and give this knowledge to others. This is the best way to get realization of Krishna. And this is what we want, right? We want to get more and more and more realization of Krishna. So this is a powerful statement by Srila Prabhupada. And he exemplified this giving. A devotee is paradukuduki. He sees others suffering and it gives pain. So he was very much into relieving people of the pain of material life. So there was also something I wanted to mention, that a lot of times when we're distributing books, we'll meet people that are actually searching for this knowledge, and they really appreciate it when they get the books. I've met so many people, oh yeah, I've been looking for this Bhagavad Gita for so long, it's so nice to meet you, and they take a Bhagavad Gita, they take some other books that we have. So much appreciative. But it's also not that uncommon that people get a book and they're not interested, but then they somehow become interested. Or they run into devotees and they just become spontaneously attracted to devotees. I'll tell you an interesting thing that happened in this regard. This is back in the 70s. There was one person who was at a concert. And there was devotees at this concert distributing books. Or they were going to go to the concert. They were at a store. So this one person, just some karmi guy, he wanted to go into the concert. So he asked the devotees, are you guys going into the concert? And they said, yeah. Well, can I get a ride with you? Can I hop in with you? She said, yeah, sure, come on in. So he got into the van, and they started preaching to him about the books and asked if he'd like to buy some. He said, yeah, sure, I'll check it out. It looks interesting. So he bought some books. And when they got into the concert, they told him, you know, we're going to distribute these books. These are very important books. You know, it's very important that people get this knowledge. Would you like to help us out? Would you like to help us distribute these books? He said, yeah, all right, I like these books. Yeah, I'll help you out. So he started distributing books right there after they had just picked them up. And he distributed all day long. And his friends saw him and said, hey, what are you doing? You know, come on, we're supposed to be going to the concert. What are you doing? No, these are good books. I like distributing these books. They're good people, you know. So at the end of the day, they said, well, hey, listen, you know, we're going to be going to some other concert. Do you want to continue on with us? Do you want to just, you know... Yeah, all right. So that was 40 years ago. He's still distributing books. His name is Divyanga. Divyanga. He's a very good book distributor, wonderful devotee. Just picked up by the devotees and became a book distributor for over 40 years. It's amazing, huh? This is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Recently, I was in Guyana, and one devotee, he was visiting this gas station. He would go there and get gas, and he would preach to the owner of this gas station. And he would just, speak a little bit about the Bhagavad Gita, and they would discuss about the Bhagavad Gita. And this person was so impressed with the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita that he bought the Bhagavad Gita and he bought a full set, and he started chanting. And he decided to build a temple at the back of his gas station. So right now there's a huge temple in the back of his gas station. So there's a lot of Hindus there. So they get their gas, they park their vehicle, and they go and they get darshan of the deities. So this is the power of this philosophy. So we just have to get this knowledge out to the people. And they'll benefit. We can't imagine what's going to happen. We just have to get the books out there. And amazing things will happen. Because these books, they're not paper and ink. They're Krishna. And Krishna has an amazing way of getting around. I'll tell you another interesting story. There was two brothers. They were thieves. And they were at one house. They were in one house to steal some things. And while they were in the house looking for things to steal, they heard a car drive up in the driveway. And then they said to each other, "All right, let's out of here, let's go." But one of them, he saw a book on the table. So he thought, well, we should get something at least. So he grabbed this book from the table and left. And they're driving away in their getaway vehicle. And this person, he opens it up. Bhagavad Gita. What is this? And his brother says, "I can't believe you stole a book. We go to a house to steal and you steal a book. I can't believe you did that. No, I like to read, it might be good, just check it out." So he took it home and he was gradually reading it. And he was finding it to be pretty interesting. And he started telling his brother about what he was reading. And he also kind of found it interesting. So then they found the address in the back of the book. And they started visiting the temple. They both became initiated devotees. And book distributors. They gave up their old habit. So I'll tell you one more story and then we'll have Pragosh Prabhu speak. This is another thief story. This is in Colombia. One devotee is distributing books and two thieves come to him and said, "Listen, give me your money or we're going to kill you." And the devotee thought, these two look so crazy that even if I give them my money, they're probably going to do something crazy. So he just thought, "I'm going to take shelter of Lord Nrsingadev." So this devotee has a very loud voice. So he just closed his eyes. Namaste Nrsingaya Prahlada Lada Dayane. The whole prayer. And then he opened his eyes and he didn't see them. And then he looked down and they were praying to him. And they said, "Please forgive us. We didn't know you were a saintly person." And the devotee said, no, it's okay, but you should give up this bad habit. And then he gave them the address to the temple, and they started visiting the temple. In Colombia, even the thieves are a little pious. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Firstly, I think I would just like to thank Vijay Prabhu for his service as our ISKCON Global Minister for Book Distribution. And one thing in particular about the service that he does is that he leads by example, by Prabhupada, the principle of Acharya, that Vijay Prabhu travels around the world. Even to small, insignificant places like Ireland. And when he comes, All he does all day long is he's out distributing books. So I think he's a fantastic example for a perfect person to be our minister and a fantastic example to all the book distributors here in ISKCON. So thank you very much, Vijay Prabhu. Have you done? And as a contrast, I'm not sure what I'm doing here speaking today and the Book Distribution Awards, but somehow or another I am. Maybe like most of you, it was that I joined the Hare Krishna movement as a result of getting a book. The book that I got, the first book, was The Science of Self-Realization. And one day, and I won't get into the details, after being in a particularly distressed situation, I decided that I would open the book and start reading. And I read, and it was literally two sentences I read, and that was kind of it for me. I then went to the temple. The first sentence was that you are not the body. And I thought, wow, that's a relief. And then the next sentence was the biggest relief of all. It says, you're also not the mind. And I thought, wow, that super fantastic. And then I went to the temple. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, when I went to the temple, it was the end of November. So, of course, we know what happens in every Hare Krishna temple in the month of December. We have what we used to call then, we've changed it now to Prabhupada Marathon, but we had what we used to call then the Christmas Marathon. So I wasn't quite as quick as Divyanga. I wasn't quite as quick as Divyanga Prabhu, but within one or two days of being in the temple, I was out on book distribution. And that was a big challenge for my mind again. I just read in The Science of Self-Realization, I'm not the mind. And I thought, wow, fantastic. But then Krishna gave me another challenge very quickly. In those days, the program, we went on traveling Sankirtan in a van with three other devotees. And this van, this is back, you know, in the early 80s, and the van is like, it has no insulation. It's just a tin van. And it was December in Ireland. We're in a place called Tuam on the west side of Ireland. And the program was that you used to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You would chant all your rounds before Mangal Aarti. Then you would have Mangal Aarti in the van. Then you'd take a little nap again, little nap. Then you get up, and while one devotee was cooking breakfast, another devotee was giving class. But the point was we were getting up at 2 a.m. So we were in this town in a car park and were sleeping. Woke up at 2 a.m. The party leader, because I was the new guy in the van, the party leader said, okay, Prabhu, get out, you know, take a shower. So I was the first to get out of the van to take a shower. I opened the door and the car park was covered in snow. And I thought, what am I doing here? I'm jumping out of this van with just a gumcher on in the freezing cold in my bare feet into like 3-4 inches of snow with a bucket of water beside me that's freezing cold, and I'm going to take a shower? Why was I ever given this book, The Science of Self-Realization? But somehow or another, I survived, at least for a little bit. But anyway, when we have these book distribution awards, and when we think of ISKCON's book distributors, I always think of the Bharata Bhumate Halya verse. And I think we can associate that verse where Lord Chaitanya is stating that everybody who's born in Bharat Varsh, they have a duty to go out and kara upakara, to deliver, as Vijay Prabhu was saying, that, you know, if one person becomes a devotee, it's better than opening millions of hospitals. So to distribute this para upakara, this great humanitarian welfare work. But I think that that's an obligation, actually. That verse is coming, speaking about everyone who's taken birth in India, but also everyone who's taken birth in ISKCON. It's kind of like Srila Prabhupada, you can see that that's his same mandate, that he wants devotees to go out and distribute this mercy of Lord Chaitanya and distribute this mercy of Krishna consciousness to all the fallen conditioned souls. That's why Srila Prabhupada, it's just such an amazing story. We've heard it so many times that to some degree it loses its shine, but it is such an amazing story that at the age of 69, Prabhupada, 50 years ago this year actually, at the age of, how many people in the room are 69 or older? 69 or older. Very, very few are 69 or older, or else they're shy to admit it. But anyway, three people put their hand up. At the age of 69, Prabhupada left to start the Hare Krishna movement. It's just an extraordinary thing. And as Vijay said, And I'm going to read a quote related to that, that when he got to New York City, it was a desert. There were no devotees. He was completely 100% on his own. The Nectar of Devotion tells us that somebody, the definition of compassion is somebody who cannot bear somebody else's distress. So if we cannot bear somebody else's distress, I mean, I have to humbly admit that sometimes I'm, you know, there's almost some pleasure you take in people's distress. It's absolutely terrible. But for a Vaishnava, for a pure devotee, they cannot bear the distress of others. And it's because of that, that was the inspiration, that was what was in Srila Prabhupada's heart that inspired him to go to New York City in 1965 to start the Hare Krishna movement. We know that a non-devotee is only thinking of their own interests, which essentially is selfish. But for a devotee, a Vaishnava is thinking of Krishna's interests. And Krishna's interests are to help other living entities. That's Krishna's interest. And therefore the devotee is inspired to do that, to help other people. And the analogy of Srila Prabhupada is interesting with our family here in the Hare Krishna movement, particularly at this time of year in our world headquarters just before Gaur Purnim festival. Mayapur is our home. How many of you don't live in Mayapur but are just visiting? We have a few more. And when you arrive in Mayapur, how often do you hear a devotee say to you, "Oh, welcome home"? They say that to me every time I arrive in Mayapur. They say, "Welcome home." So Mayapur is our world headquarters. It's like our home. Srila Prabhupada said that Vrindavan was his home. Mayapur was his place of worship. So Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan in 1965, and he left his home at the age of 69, as I've already said. He left his home like that to do what? To go and preach Krishna consciousness, to go and give Krishna consciousness to others. So in the same way, Mayapur is our home, but really, as Prabhupada used the phrase also, that we come to Mayapur, we come to the Gaur Purnim festival to recharge our batteries. And then when our batteries are fully recharged, then the idea is we go back to our place where we've come from to give people Krishna consciousness. So that analogy is very much akin with what Srila Prabhupada did himself leaving Vrindavan. Now some of us live here in Mayapur. Because preaching actually, just to make that point also, preaching protects us from so many things. Vijay Prabhu was saying on the positive that preaching gives us realization. When we're giving Krishna consciousness to others, it gives us realization. It greatly helps us in our tools for convincing our own mind about things that we may have doubts about, because people will ask us questions and then we have to come up with the answers, etc. So that's one thing. But it also protects us from a cozy life, from becoming too cozy, from becoming too in-house. We have the word in English, what's the word in English that I've forgotten? incestuous, like that. And it protects us from the dangers that brings. So if you're living here in Mayapur, and it's actually your home, then you can still preach Krishna consciousness. And actually, it's just for me an amazing thing that this is the 50th anniversary of the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, and we see this temple in front of us, the temple of the Vedic Planetarium. And what a glorious opportunity, if you're here living here in Mayapur, to preach Krishna consciousness by using the temple of the Vedic Planetarium as a platform for that. And I just want to read a couple of quotes from Srila Prabhupada in relation to that. Just bear with me one sec. Okay, so here's a quote from Prabhupada. "Your so-called science is also belief. If you call your way science, then our way is science also." So that was Srila Prabhupada on a morning walk in 1974. "The activities and characteristics of the ethereal element can be observed as the accommodation of room for the external and internal existences of all living entities, namely the field of activities of the vital air, the senses, and the mind. This verse is the potential of great scientific research work, for it explains how tangible elements are manifested from the subtle form. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually realized in the vision of a material philosopher and scientist through the manifestation of his material energy." So the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium, in terms of many of us will travel out back to our home countries, and we will be engaged in our Krishna conscious preaching activities. But for those in Mayapur, this is such a golden opportunity for preaching Krishna consciousness directly as Srila Prabhupada wanted it. And it is interesting. I mentioned the other day in our TOVP class that I read an article recently presented by scientists. They were complaining that they don't get such an opportunity to talk about the creation of the universe. I think my own impression is they get ample opportunity at talking about the creation of the universe, and they go, wow, you know, they're always on about it. And then they were giving their Siddhanta. This was a combined article from all these, you know, illuminary scientific personalities. And in that article, they said, their conclusion was, it was a long, long article, but essentially their conclusion was two sentences. One sentence was, their conclusion is that this material universe popped into existence from nothing. That was the first sentence. But because nothing is inherently unstable, something had to manifest from it. And what manifested from the nothingness was everything that we see now in the universe. Wow. And you can imagine that when people are reading that, millions and millions, what is there, 7 billion people on this planet. If 7 billion people were reading that article, you probably would find that probably 5 billion of them would be going something along the lines of, oh, wow, yeah, 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 wow, wow, wow. So there is so much preaching to be done to give these people what the actual reality is. From a positive perspective, as that quote that I just read from Prabhupada, this verse is the potential basis of great scientific research work, for it explains how tangible elements are manifested from the subtle form. We know that everything manifests from the spiritual and the subtle to the gross. Gross matter just doesn't just appear. Ultimately, it's starting from the thinking, feeling, willing process. So we have the spiritual, the subtle, and then the gross, like that. So when those scientists say that the material universe popped into existence from nothing, in essence, they're right. What they're actually saying is it popped into existence from the subtle. But because they don't understand the subtle or spiritual, they're thinking it's coming from nothing. So in one sense, there isn't that huge of a difference between what they're saying and what we're saying. We just have to give them the understanding of the noumena behind the phenomena. So finally, I just wanted to, because it is the Book Distribution Awards, I did just want to read a few of Srila Prabhupada's quotes about book distribution. And also just to mention the Srila Bhakti, the importance of distributing books, that we all know from the experiences that how many of us would say that more or less we joined the Hare Krishna movement as a result of receiving or reading a book? How many would say that? That's definitely more than 50% of the devotees in the temple room here. So just that alone, we know what the significance of book distribution is. Also, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, before he sent those devotees, his disciples, to London back in the 30s, right? That was back in the 30s. Before he sent them, I think the detail, I could be wrong on the detail, but it's just to emphasize the point. I think he even had to delay their ticket. Their ticket was booked and they were ready to go. But he delayed their ticket until one of his disciples, Nishkanta Sanyal, who had written the Sri Chaitanya book, The Life of Sri Chaitanya, or the Sri Chaitanya Life, whatever, life story. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj waited until that book was available before he sent them on the boat to go to the UK, because he wanted them to have books in their hands that they could distribute when they arrived in the West like that. So here are just a few quotes from Srila Prabhupada regarding book distribution. And this again goes back to the para upakara verse. Great personalities of the material world are very eager to render welfare service to human society. But actually, no one can render better service than one who distributes the knowledge of spiritual realization in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The more we sell books, the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, and the more we help others to have solid information how they may take advantage of their human form of life and achieve the supreme perfection. So I want that you should now increase very greatly this selling of books and literatures. I thank you very much for taking so seriously to helping me fulfill the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati to distribute Krishna conscious literature to the whole world masses. What strength our movement has now got is due in large part to the enthusiasm we have had to distribute our literatures profusely throughout the whole world. This is a sure sign of spiritual strength, for where there is preaching, there must be life. Please go on increasing more and more book distribution. You are working for the right direction. Any page you open, this is wonderful reading matter. My ambition is to spread these books far and wide, all over the world, so that everyone shall read at least one of our books, and that will change his life. If only 1% become devotees, that will change the entire world. I don't know what 1% of 7 billion is. Maybe somebody can figure that out very quickly, and we can start figuring out how close we are to 1% becoming devotees. Vijay Guru is saying we're still a long way away, so don't stop distributing books, okay? Here's a little conversation, very short, titled, I Will Never Die. A reporter. Yes, I understood. Could you tell me how old you are? Jai Tirtha. He wants to know your age, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada. After 1 month, I will be 80. Reporter. 80? Prabhupada. Yes, 80 years old. Reporter. What will happen? Prabhupada. I was born in 1896. Now you can calculate. Reporter. What will happen to the movement in the United States when you die? Prabhupada. I will never die. Devotees. Jai. Hari Bol. Prabhupada. I will never die. I shall live in my books. Just you now utilize. I'll stop there, actually. And in the mood of Vijay Prabhu telling stories, I'll just tell one story that I wasn't involved in, but I think it's an amazing story. For many of you who distribute books in the West, you'll know that sometimes you take risks. You try to slip into, security, industrial areas, or you try to get into an office block through the reception, and, you do all those kind of things, because you know that once you're in, then Krishna takes over, and, you'll distribute to so many people, but getting past the security guy, that's usually the tricky thing, or the receptionist. So one devotee one time, this was in Amsterdam. Anybody from Holland in the audience? Okay, so I'm sure you'll know this, and you'll probably correct me if I get some of the details wrong. But this is I don't know if it was in Amsterdam, actually. It was in Holland. I'm not sure if it was Amsterdam. And the devotee, he's on book distribution, and he rings a bell to get into an industrial area, stroke office kind of area. And he rings the bell, and the receptionist answers, and he just makes out that he has an appointment with somebody. He saw one of the names on the board outside, so-and-so company or whatever it is. And he just made out that he had an appointment with that company. So he rings the bell, says that, and they say, okay, we'll let you in. What's your name? He gives a false name, of course. I mean, how many of you have given false names when distributing books? So he gives a false name, and the person says, okay, come on in, Mr. Hugenstadt or whatever it is. And she beeps the bell, and he gets in. So he's in. Now he's in, and he's going around, and he's distributing his books. After a few minutes, the security inside the complex, they notice him. And they see him, and they just immediately pick up that, oh, how did he get in? He shouldn't be here like this. So the security starts heading towards him in a fairly brisk manner, fairly fast manner. And, of course, the devotee does the right thing, the wrong thing, whatever. But he starts to walk fast, starts to run. So the security man immediately knows this guy's an imposter. So he starts chasing. The devotee's running, and he's got his big bag of books, of course, and he's running, running, running. And he's figuring that the security guy is catching him up. And then he sees... Oh, and he takes a turn, and when he's running down, he notices that he's running into a dead end. And he's thinking, oh no, now I'm caught, this is the end of it. And as he's running down, he notices on the side, there's like a door, just a doorway, almost like an alleyway kind of thing, although it's inside. It's almost like a doorway into a theater, the side entrance into a theater. So he thinks, oh great, he slips in there, and he closes the door in the hope that the security guy won't notice where he's gone. And he's going along this long, dark corridor, and he's wondering where it's going to lead him. And eventually he sees light at the end of the tunnel. He sees the light at the end of the tunnel, and he walks into it. And he's sort of walking in trepidation, because he doesn't know what he's walking into. But at the same time, he doesn't want to walk back, because he's going to get caught by the security guy. So he walks out, and next thing, as he walks out, he's walking onto a stage. And it's in like a, it's in like an auditorium, like our Samadhi auditorium. So he's coming on from the side. And there's a couple of people on the stage, the MC and the guy, whatever, doing whatever he's doing. And the auditorium is full of people. And he's just there thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Now he has his bag of books. And next thing, the MC person says, oh, fantastic, you've arrived. We were thinking you weren't coming. You're so late. You're already 20 minutes late. You know? So the devotee's thinking, wow, okay, must be Krishna's arrangement. I'll just go along with this somehow or another. So he says, yeah, sorry about that. It was heavy traffic outside. Yeah, I got a little bit late. So the guy brings him over and says, so I presume the prizes are in your bag. And the devotee goes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the prizes are in the bag, you know. He says, great. So then the MC starts saying, okay, Mr. So-and-so, please come up and collect your prize for being the best this. Mrs. So-and-so, please come up and collect your prize. So this stream of people start coming up on the stage, and he's giving out the prizes, which are Bhagavad Gita's. He's just giving out Bhagavad Gita's to all these people. And I'm not sure whether he had enough books or didn't have enough books, that I'm not sure. But when all the prizes were given out, everybody seemed happy. They were just happy they were getting an award. They didn't really, you know, it looked like a decent book, big, thick book like that, and it was free. They were happy. And then at the very end, when the thing was over, the devotee whispered in the MC's ear. He said, by the way, I've forgotten what the event is. What's the event again? And he says, oh, this is the annual Butcher's Award for Holland. So there you go. Krishna arranged. He distributed all his books to the people who are most deserving, because Lord Chaitanya's Patita Bhavana, and they were butchers, the most fallen, got a Bhagavad Gita each to go home with. Srila Prabhupada Ki!
His Holiness Jayadeva Goswami Ki. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu, for your nice presentation.
God. I say it. There's someone to repeat what I say.
Sunyavadi Paschakta Dasata
Bhakti Vatsalam, Pandulam Naya Tegyam, Yadki Bhattamahan Vande, Sigandir Thainam, Paramahananda Malvam, Sri Chaitanya Isham. Hare Om Tat Sat. So I was thinking today,
I was thinking today
how much Srila Prabhupada is pleased.
How much Srila Prabhupada is pleased
by all of you attending this festival.
By all of you attending this festival
and having so much enthusiasm for distributing his books.
And having so much enthusiasm for distributing his books.
He would say that when he saw the book distribution scores.
He would say that when he saw the book distribution scores.
It would give them a new life.
It would give him a new life.
And he had to see that it was like so much inspired.
I mean, you had to see that. He was so much inspired.
By the book distribution.
By the book distribution.
By the book publication.
By the book publication.
And the DDT people would come and give them a stack of new books and new languages.
When the BBT people would come and give him a stack of new books in different languages.
He would literally cry.
He would literally cry.
And he would cry.
He would cry.
My Guru Maharaj would be so happy.
He would say, my Guru Maharaj would be so happy.
And when he heard the book distribution.
When he heard the book distribution.
Reports. He was so happy.
He was so happy.
When he told that reporter that Bhagosh Prabhu had said.
But he told, as Bhagosh Prabhu had said.
That I will live forever in my books.
I will live forever in my books.
That living forever is because you are also distributing those books.
That living forever is because you are also distributing those books.
People are reading them.
People are reading them.
Some devotees are in the Moscow Book Fair.
Some devotees in the Moscow Book Fair.
They visited from Vladivostok. Which is on the extreme east.
It's on the extreme east by the Pacific Ocean.
It's like, I don't know exactly, correct me, but around like 12 time zones.
It's about 12 time zones.
Russia is a big country.
Russia is a big country.
At that time it was the Soviet Union. So.
At that time it was the Soviet Union.
And someone there from Vladivostok picked up some Bhagavad Gitas.
And someone there from Vladivostok picked up some Bhagavad Gitas.
And they read the Gita.
And they read the Gita.
And they started to practice.
And they started to practice.
They had a whole group practicing.
They had a whole group practicing.
Chanting 16 rounds.
Doing devotional service.
And then years passed by.
And then years passed by.
And one saw a book distributor.
And one saw a book distributor.
And said, oh, we purchased one of your books.
And he said, oh, we purchased one of your books.
We are practicing.
And we are practicing.
But I never heard a devotee say Hare Krishna.
But I never heard a devotee say Hare Krishna.
Could you once say the mantra so I could hear a living person say it?
Could you once say the mantra so that I could hear a living person say it?
That's
how powerful Srila Prabhupada's book was.
Close your mouth now.
Close your mouth now.
Really, his books are so powerful.
Really, his books are so powerful.
And we in ISKCON. We are dedicated to distributing these books. The BBT is publishing them. Selling to us.
We distribute them.
And the book distributors.
And the book distributors.
Books are the basis.
Books are the basis.
Preaching is the essence.
Preaching is the essence.
And I was thinking about also this morning.
And I was also thinking about this morning.
Well, of course, every country is different.
Of course, every country is different.
But there's good and bad aspects.
But there are good and bad aspects.
India used to be very low in book distribution.
Like, India used to be very low in book distribution.
Europe was very high.
Europe was very high in America.
And at this point, India is doing a bit better.
At this point, India is doing much better.
But it all depends on the book distributors.
But it all depends on the book distributors.
How much enthusiasm, how much dedication.
How much enthusiasm, how much dedication.
Because all the, okay, in India, you can say they know Gita.
Okay, in India, you can say they know Gita.
But there are hundreds of Gitas out there.
But there are hundreds of Gitas out there.
There is a person you can distribute that doesn't say, oh, I have Gita.
There isn't a person who says, when you distribute, oh, I already have the Gita.
I have a Gita, my grandfather has it, my uncle reads it.
I have a Gita, my grandfather has it, my uncle reads it.
They have to convince them that you need to read it.
They have to convince them that you have to read it.
And some book distributors, one elderly man in Delhi.
And some book distributors, one elderly man in Delhi.
He uses a unique practice. He stands in front of a car. He says, Take a Gita or run me over.
And he says, you take a Gita or you run me over.
I would like to do that in America.
I would like to do that in America.
But in some places.
So in some places.
Money is easy.
It's easy.
It's Christmas season.
It's Christmas season.
People are in the giving mood.
People are in the giving mood.
Powers and minuses for every place.
There are different
pros and minuses.
Pros and practices in different
places. Pros and minuses.
Pros and minuses in different places.
But the real thing is that the devotees are so much dedicated.
But the one thing is that the devotees are so much dedicated
to serving Srila Prabhupada.
To serving Srila Prabhupada.
And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
When he ordered Prabhupada to go to the West.
When he ordered Prabhupada to go to the West.
He told them that by your preaching. This will be very good for you spiritually.
This will be very good for you spiritually.
And for those who helped you.
And for those who help you.
So every book distributor is helping Prabhupada.
So every book distributor is helping Prabhupada.
Helping him to live on.
Helping him to live on.
Helping the conditioned souls to get the message of Lord Chaitanya.
Helping the conditioned souls to get the message of Lord Chaitanya.
You heard from our minister.
You heard from our minister.
Oh, Lord Chaitanya said, along how many fruits can I distribute?
How Lord Chaitanya said, how many fruits alone can I distribute?
Some may get, some may not get.
Some may get, some may not get.
So I remain in doubt. I remain in doubt.
So I remain in doubt.
So I order every human being.
So I order every human being.
In the universe.
In the universe.
To distribute these fruits.
To distribute these fruits.
So we know Lord Chaitanya, he gave the order.
So we know Lord Chaitanya, he gave the order.
Bolo Krishna.
Bolo Krishna.
Bhajo Krishna.
Bhajo Krishna.
Karo Krishna Shiksha.
Karo Krishna Shiksha.
And that teaches of Krishna is Gita is spoken by Krishna.
And the teachings of Krishna, the Gita is spoken by Krishna.
And the Bhagavatam and other books are spoken about Krishna.
And the Bhagavatam and other books are spoken about Krishna.
And then how we're all here together.
And then how we're all here together.
From different continents.
From different continents.
From different countries.
From different countries.
All because of Srila Prabhupada.
All because of Srila Prabhupada.
And his books.
And his books.
I saw him in Mayapur, he'd come twice.
I saw him in Mayapur when he would come. He would come twice.
And he'd come once in the middle of the year, in the fall.
He would come once in the middle of the year, in the fall.
And once at Gaur Purnima.
And once at Gaur Purnima.
So Gaur Purnima, he was busy seeing all the devotees.
In Gaur Purnima, he was busy seeing all the devotees.
And sometimes visiting secretary would give him the books.
And sometimes his secretary would give him.
A secretary
would give him the books.
A trustee would send him the books.
A trustee would send him the books.
But in the fall.
But in the fall.
He was writing.
He was writing.
And he would write all night.
And he would write all night.
He started his jala, and then about 1 or 2 hours.
He would start his japa, and then about every 1 or 2 hours.
After. 1 or 2 hours.
After 1 or 2 hours.
He would start writing.
He would start writing.
And he was translating mainly Bhagavatam.
And he was translating mainly Bhagavatam.
He had a special Sanskrit Bhagavatam.
He had a special Sanskrit Bhagavatam.
With all the tikkas of the previous acharyas.
With all the tikkas of the previous acharyas.
7 tikkas.
7 tikkas.
Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj.
Sridhar Swami Maharaj.
And Jeev Goswami and so on.
Jeev Goswami and so on.
So, he was spending great effort.
So he was spending great effort.
To write these books.
To write these books.
To give them his purport.
To give his purport.
We don't find that in any purport he says.
We don't find that in any purport he says.
What Krishna said this, but it really means this.
What Krishna said this, but it really means this.
As Bhagavad Gita as it is not.
As Bhagavad Gita.
As isn't.
As is not.
He would always explain why what Krishna said is correct.
He would always explain why what Krishna said is correct.
Just in case there's any doubts.
Just in case there are any doubts.
What did Krishna mean? The right interpretation.
What did Krishna mean with the correct interpretation?
So, we're all here.
So we're all here.
To help in preaching, help in book distribution.
To help in preaching, to help in book distribution.
And we should be very grateful.
And we should be very grateful.
We have this opportunity.
That we have this opportunity.
To associate with so many nice Vaishnavas.
To associate with so many nice Vaishnavas.
Vaishnavis.
And Vaishnavis.
You know, Prabhupada, when he came to the West.
Prabhupada, when he came to the West.
He didn't have anybody.
He didn't have anybody.
No God brothers, no disciples of God brothers.
No God brothers, no disciples.
When he left from Calcutta.
When he left from Calcutta.
This year is the 50th anniversary of his leaving.
This year is the 50th anniversary of him leaving.
No big send-off party.
No big send-off party.
I don't think there's anyone.
I don't think there was anyone.
He was alone.
He was alone.
With his order of his guru and Krishna.
With the order of his guru and Krishna.
And he was asking for help. He said, here America, this is a good place. Please send your people.
And he asked for help. He said, here in America, it's a good place. Please send your people.
And well, that wasn't... Okay, send me a harmonium.
Okay, send me a harmonium.
That didn't come.
That didn't come.
Send me a mridanga.
Send me a mridanga.
That didn't come.
That didn't come.
Send me a pair of kartas.
Send me a pair of kartas.
Anything.
Anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
So... We are so fortunate.
So we are so fortunate.
We are so fortunate.
We are so fortunate.
How you have so many Vaishnavas, so many God brothers, God sisters, nephews, cousins.
How we have so many God brothers, God sisters, nephews, cousins.
And we are to associate with.
To associate with.
To help us.
To help us.
For us to help them.
For us to help them.
So, I come back to the minister to tell us the give out the awards.
So I'll hand it back to the minister to give out the awards.
I will.
You will.
Going to have the it's going to be a little different this year. Usually about 90% of the awards go to Indians because so much book distribution is going on in India. So one Indian devotee book distributor said, you know, it seems like an imbalance. Maybe we should give it more to the international book distributors. So I said, yeah, that sounds good. So that's what we're doing starting this year, is that the top book distributor in each continent will receive an award, and the top temples in each continent will also receive awards. So we're going to also start off with the sets and also BTG subscriptions. So the devotee that distributed more full sets in the world last year is right here from Mayapur. He distributed 4,409 sets. His name is Vanamali Mukunda Das. Where is he? How do you... the number one in BTG subscriptions. He had 4,193 subscriptions. Nitya Muktidas. This is not Nitya Muktidas, but he's receiving the award. The number one Prabhupada disciple for last year was 69,035 book points, Bhrigupati Prabhu. Of course, he's not here. He's still distributing books, so I'll give him that award. So the number three temple in Africa with 17,704 book points, Phoenix Mauritius. Someone here from Mauritius? Africa. Anybody here from Africa? He's from Africa. Here we go.
There you go.
There you go. Can you get that to them somehow? The number two temple in Africa with 23,967 book points, Durban, South Africa. Durban. Okay. He's the representative for Africa.
What part of Africa are you from?
Which part? Which country?
Huh? West
Africa. Okay. Okay, the number one temple in Africa. You might want to stick around. The number one temple in Africa with 40,390 book points, Nairobi, Kenya. There we go, here's somebody. He's from Kenya. Okay. Okay, the number three temple in Australasia with 11,370 book points, Melbourne, Australia. Anuruddha is not here? He said he'd be here. Okay, I'll give it to him later. Number two temple in Australasia with 20,089 book points, Auckland, New Zealand. Here's a book distributor from New Zealand that distributed. How many years have you been distributing there? 10 years in New Zealand. And some prasad. Awesome. Prasad. Thank you. And the number one temple in Australasia with 40,463 book points, Sydney, Australia. Where's the temple president? He's here. Where's the temple president? He's going to receive another award. He's the number one book distributor. Where's the president? He's here. Where's the president? Come around. Here's the president. This devotee inspired so much book distribution in Sydney, Australia. 3 years ago, 3 years ago, there was practically no book distribution there. This devotee, Jan Prabhu, he just completely picked it up. Now there's 8 book distributors in Sydney, and this is like, this exploded by this devotee's sincere effort. The number three temple in Latin America with 30,537 book points, Mexico City. Anybody here from Mexico? Okay, the number two temple in Latin America with 41,574 book points, Guerra Morro, Mexico. Okay, we don't have anybody here from Mexico. Okay, well, number one temple in Latin America with 45,436 book points, Porto Alegre, Brazil. Oh no. This devotee is Chaitanya Chandra. Chaitanya Chandra is not here. From Brazil? All right.
Can we see your passport?
Yes. And some prasad. Okay, now the number three temple in Europe with 56,933 book points, Singhachalam, Germany. Here's the Sankirtan leader for Germany. Thank you. Sampurshan. The number two temple in Europe with 100,779 book points, Bhaktivedanta Manor. And the number one temple in Europe with 108,543,000 book points, Sankirtan Dham, Italy. This is Anakandandubi Prabhu. He's been distributing books for over 20 years in Italy. The number three temple in the USA with 84,750 book points, Silicon Valley, California, USA. Anybody here from Silicon Valley? This temple is amazing. No one lives in the temple. It's all congregation, headed by Vaisheshika Prabhu. Actually, he's the real minister of book distribution. I just stand in for him. Vaisheshika Prabhu ki. So I'll give that to him. The number two temple in the USA with 87,330 book points, Rupanuga Vedic College. And this award will be received by Parameshwar Prabhu, who has been distributing books for 15 years. He's the Sankirtan leader, travels all over America distributing Prabhupada's books, inspiring others also. The number one temple in the USA with 222,054 book points, Los Angeles, California. So I'm a LA resident, so I'll take that one. The number three temple in Russia with 95,453 book points, Krasnodar, Russia. Jai. Thank you. The number two temple in Russia with 133,192 book points, Jagannath Mandir, Moscow. And the number one temple, Prashad. The number one temple in Russia with 167,881 book points, Moscow, Russia. It's amazing, they're all forgiving Prashad on you. Very detached. The number three temple in Asia with 598,874 book points, Mumbai, Juhu, India. Who's here from Mumbai?
Brother Haripu was there.
The president is here. But he's not here. Okay, we'll get it to him later. The number two temple. Huh? He's here? Oh, here. There we go. Hare Krishna. The number two temple in Asia with 1,370,123 book points, New Delhi, India. Now this isn't a surprise for anyone. The number one temple in Asia with 1,410,000 book points, Mayapur, India. Sachi Kumar Prabhu, he's receiving the award. And he is the Sankirtan leader here for how many years, Sachi Kumar? How many years now? 22 years he's been the Sankirtan leader here. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Now the number one book distributor in Africa with 3,035 book points, Umapati Das from Nairobi, Kenya. I don't think he's here. The number one book distributor in Latin America with 45,436 book points, Chaitanya Chandra Das. No, it isn't. Look at that. It's the necklace of Radharani. The number one book distributor in Latin America with 45,436 book points, Chaitanya Chandra Das from Central Goranitai, Porto Alegre. Is there that Brazilian lady is going to have to come again? Is that Brazilian lady still around? She's honoring the prasadam. The number one book distributor in Australasia with 14,685 book points, Bhakta Hamsa from Sydney, Australia. Bhakta Hamsa. They call him Bhakta Hamsa. Here, this is also a necklace of Srimati Radharani. the number one book distributor in Europe with 22,500 book points, Raja Sundar in Catania, Italy. This is being received again by Anakanda Nubi Prabhu. He represents Italy. The number one book distributor in the USA with 40,000 book points, 40,014 book points, Parameshwar Prabhu from the Rupanuga Vedic College. Thank you very much, Parameshwar Prabhu. The number one book distributor in Eurasia with 21,084 book points, Anupam Krishnadas from Moscow, Russia. Oh. Are you Anupam Krishna? Yeah, okay. This is actually Anupam Krishnadas. And the number one book distributor in Asia and the world with 196,395 book points, Madhusundar Das from New Delhi, India. He's taking it on behalf of Madhusundar Prabhu. Oh, you get the flute. Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
I think that we can die.